Okay. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Open to the next to last chapter. We're going to be looking in Deuteronomy 32. There's a kind of a saying that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we're coming up on New Year's resolutions. How many times do people say, "Oh, my resolution is to lose weight, or to get healthy, or to stop doing whatever, or start doing whatever," and it lasts a couple weeks, and then it's no more. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and nowhere is that more true than in the Christian life. You can see a new believer, and they're all excited, and they're on fire for God and everything. But then it's sort of, you get back into the world and into the the way life is, and you just get back into it, and it's like nothing happened. And so what I want to look at today is a man who finished well, and that man is Moses. And we're going to talk about something nobody wants to talk about, and that's death. At death, we can look back on our life, and we can see, what did we do? How did we live for the Lord? And so we want to take some advice from Moses and see how he handled it. So let me run up to this in Deuteronomy 31. Let's look at verse 14. All right, 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, thy days approach that thou must die." Okay, so he's being told that you've got a couple days to live. And how would we react if we were told that? If God were to say, "Okay, you've got 2 days left to live." What would you do? Would you do anything differently? Or would everything be pretty much the same? And then we have to ask, well, why? Why would things be different? Is it that I'm not walking with God, and maybe I need to do something about it? Well, why not do it now? If we start looking at, all of us have a death sentence over us, and if we're not taking that seriously, that it really is coming. And judgment is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Do we really believe that? Or do we just say, that's something that happens to other people? No, it is going to happen to us. And if it happened to Moses, as long as there's not the rapture, yes, we're gonna experience it. Moses was actually in verse chapter 34 and in verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was in good shape. It wasn't that he was old and infirmed and sick, but God told him that thou must die. Now, I want to kind of contrast another man, and that would be King Hezekiah in 2 Kings, who was given the same message. And in 2 Kings 20, we see verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah told the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So he got the same message. Look at his response, though. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked with thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Well, why was he weeping? He just said, I have walked with thee, I haven't done anything wrong. Why was he weeping? Is it because he loved this world so much? And you see the contrast between what Moses' reaction is. Moses' reaction is, okay, because he had been walking with God, and it was like, this is yes, I expect this. So, if you remember Hezekiah, he was granted 15 more years. Well, God was right, because he messed up in those 15 years. He would have been better just to say, you know, God, you're right. I trust you. And that's the way Moses was. He trusted the Lord. He trusted God. And that's something that we have to deal with death. We need to trust God, that he knows what he's doing, that he knows that, he knows when we're going to die, and he will take care of us. In verse 16 on Deuteronomy 31, the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and these people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be amongst them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Okay, God is telling Moses that, yeah, you're going to die, but the people that you love and the people that you have ministered to and the people that you have led are going to totally forsake everything you've said, and they're going to forsake the Lord, and they're going to go do whatever they want to. Now, this isn't the first time that Moses has had to deal with this. Remember the golden calf affair? Moses was on the mountain, and they say, who is this Moses guy? He's not coming back. And so we'll do whatever we please. We'll do what's really in our heart. We'll do whatever we want to do. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to find another god to worship, because apparently this god just doesn't love us anymore. And you know, how many people today are like that? They'll say, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian, whatever." But then when things go bad, lose their job or get sick or whatever, they'll say, "I need another god. Let me look at my horoscope. Let me try to find something else, because this doesn't meet my standards." And this is what they did. And then God says, then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, but our God is not amongst us. This is not the first time that Moses has had to deal with this kind of stuff. And so it's no surprise, I don't think it's any surprise to him that God is telling him this. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. I just want to prove that this is not something that is just coming out of nowhere. Deuteronomy is kind of the state of the union of Israel. It's really the speech that says this is your state. This is what you've done. This is what I've done. This is what God has done. And it's sort of reviewing how things have been. Because if you don't review where you've been, How do you know where you're going? And that's why in our government, presidents are required to give a State of the Union that says, this is where we've been, this is what's happened. And it's really patterned after this. But in chapter 28, all right, verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee on this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, he's talking to Israel. He's talking specifically to Israel. But if you'll remember, it's not talking to the United States, but it's talking for the United States. We need to learn lessons from this. And that's one of the things that, you know, as we're reading the Old Testament, we're not told to build an ark. We're not told to sacrifice our firstborn. And yet, we can learn things from those who have been told that. And it's the same thing here. What Moses says here is, all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So what do they have to do? To get the blessings, you just hearken unto the Lord. That's pretty simple. There's nothing hard about that. You don't have to go to the university. You don't have to get a PhD in anything. You don't have to. No, you just have to hearken unto the Lord. And here's what happens if you do that. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Doesn't matter. The city, cities are, all right, look at our cities. Murders, theft, crime, you want to get away from the city. Everybody runs from the city. That's why they go to the suburbs, because we don't like the city. But when you're hearkening to the Lord, the city, it's fine. There's no big deal there. Verse 4, blessed be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks. Not only is that blessing given to you, to people, it's given to the animals too. It's given, it just flows toward everybody. I really believe that, well, I've seen it. When there are Christians working at a company or whatever, that company is in some form protected by God, even if it cares nothing about God. Just because that righteousness sort of covers that, same with a neighborhood, same with anything, that blessing just goes to where that Christian is because the blessing is on the Christian. Blessed be thy basket, in verse 5, blessed be thy basket and thy store. It's talking about food. You're going to be able to go, this is an agricultural society, you're going to be able to go out and pick fruit and pick vegetables and all that, and you're going to have a large closet full of food. You're not going to be hungry. And to get that, what do you have to do? Hearken diligently unto the Lord. See, what does that have to do with the food? Well, there's a connection there. I hear a lot of stuff. California's in a drought right now. And their excuse is, well, it's global warming. It's not global cooling. It's not global warming. It's climate change, which they can't define. No, what they should be saying is they're not hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. And we'll see that in a minute. Blessed be thou, verse 6, when thou comest in and goest out. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. That nation is protected. Now, here in America, we have been protected. We don't have to worry about enemies coming in and well, in the past, we've not had to worry about that. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord. I think sometimes what we do is we say, oh, we're better people. We're good. Aren't we smart? Let's do this in our own strength. That's not what God says. That's what He says is, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses, and all that sets thy hands to do, and He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here in America, I think they said there's a 25-day supply of diesel fuel left. That's it. When that's gone, it's gone. All our stores, everything is dependent on trucks being able to deliver that. And so we can see that the blessing, that we're not under God's blessing. Because here's what happens. The storehouses, everything. We got a nice list here of things that happen as a result of that blessing, as a result of hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, in those days, they audibly heard God from the mountains and whatever, but what we have is right here. This is the voice of the Lord our God. The Bible illiteracy is phenomenal. It shocks even me. People don't know. They don't even know 23rd Psalm or John 3:16. They don't know that. So that's again a part of the rebellion that happens. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, and keep His commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Again, America used to be respected and actually feared because of, not because of our military, not because we can blow you up or whatever. No, because we hearkened diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God, at least in some part. And that's kind of going away. But it sounds like he's done in verse 10, but then he keeps going on. And he says, wait a minute, there's more. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. Not only are people blessed, but the land, the trees, the animals, everything. Everything is blessed because man is obeying God. And that's something we have a choice to do. I'll talk about that in a minute. The Lord shall open to thee His good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, that thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Have you seen the debt of America? I mean, does that not tell you that we have turned from serving the Lord, from diligently hearing His voice, from finding out what He has to say? And so these are very real. Somebody says, well, this Bible is so old. What does this have to do with anything? It has everything to do with it. It's warning you. It's telling you, you turn away from God, His blessings will not be given to you. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. The head is the one, like if you're looking at a serpent, the head is the one that decides which way to go. The tail is the one that has to follow and has no choice. It is nothing but a slave, if you will. And so God has, again, blessed America to where we have been able to choose our own, or as citizens, we've been able to choose our own direction. But if we turn away from the Lord our God and hearken not diligently unto the voice of the Lord, that's going to change. That's going to change. And the question is, how much do we value being blessed? It's amazing. Look at Israel. Israel heard this. Israel is hearing this. And, you know, at first they say, oh, yes, we will do as the Lord says. And yet the whole history is, no, we'll do what we want. And they knew. Let's get to the curses of disobedience. This is what happens when you disobey, when you don't hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Remember, the God of this earth, the God of this world, is the devil himself. And God is at war with the devil. And so if we hearken unto the God of this world, we're going to be on his army. And God is the one who is fighting against it. So, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon and overtake thee. Cursed shall be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. That's exactly the opposite of the blessing. So you're not going to be, you're going to be cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. We're told we're facing a famine here. We're told that we're not going to have food. A lot of these companies that make these storable foods, they're saying it's coming. It's coming. You haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. We've never had to worry about that. Not in my lifetime. We've never had to worry about, sometimes a hurricane will go through and, all the grocery stores are closed or whatever. But, within a couple of days, they're all open and they're you don't have to worry about it. But that's not true. Things are changing now. Wonder why. Cursed be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and increase thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. There was a picture of a bunch of cattle in Texas, and there were, thousands of them. They're all dead. Why did they die? Cursed be thou when thou comest in, and cursed be thou when thou goest out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That curse follows you. You can't run away from it. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke in all that thou settest thy hands to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Not hearkening diligently unto the voice of their Lord, of the Lord, is by default, you're forsaking him. When we just say, no, I don't need to study the Bible, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to do any of that, it's really forsaking God. It's telling God, I don't need you. And I can handle life on my own. That's the biggest lie in the world. That's the absolute biggest lie in the world. Because God created us. And he created us to need him. But we choose not to. He gave us the ability to choose not to. And so the God of this world is talking in our ear, saying, you are a good person. You don't need to listen to any of this. You can think of it on your own because you're a good person. And everything will work out in the end. God's saying, no, that's not true. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and a fever, and an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and blasting, and with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. Do we need to say anything about pandemics and sicknesses and paranoia and all that stuff? That, look, it's most of it's phony, but the fear, because we have forsaken the Lord our God, forsaken listening to Him as a nation, this is going to apply to us. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. You know, the good news is we can turn. I mean, He tells Israel, repent, turn, come back to me. And we can go back to the first 14 verses. And we can have those blessings again. That's the reason America has been blessed. Because we did. We sent out missionaries. We were the light of the world. Look at any other country. I mean, this was a nation that really, in comparison, was listening to God. There's actually 68 verses where he keeps going over this of curses that will happen. And if you think that, oh, well, you know, it's okay, God will get over it. No. Or God will forget it. No. No, He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. We are going to be in judgment. We're going to stand judgment. We're going to stand in front of Him and be judged. If we're not saved, it's going to be a different judgment. But even if we are saved, our works are going to be judged. And so God doesn't forget any of them. So, again, hearkening to the voice of the Lord thy God. That's really it. And there's a difference between hearing. Versions, translations, whatever, they just say hear the Lord. They take out hearken. There's a difference between hearken and hearing. You can hear something. You can just sit here and hear, sit under the voice of preaching and of truth, but it just in one ear and out the other. That's hearing. Hearken is much different. It gets into the soul. It gets into, and it results in action. It results. There is a difference between just hearing and actually implementing. And that's really what he's saying here. He's saying that we need to implement these commandments, not just hear it, but actually implement it. I want to go to verse 63. You can see all the terrible stuff that happens. I will smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Madness. Can you believe what they're doing? The stuff they're saying. Insanity. It's pure insanity. They're you know, that a girl can become a boy or a boy can become a girl. Are you kidding? What kind of stupidity is this? I don't know what a woman is. How stupid are you? This is absolute insanity. And then everybody's like, "Oh, how wise! Oh, what?" If you're just accepting this, if you're accepting this stupidity, you're just as stupid as they are. So this is something that. As you go through here, take a look and see that America has turned away from what from hearkening, from listening, from actually doing what God has said. Verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And yet you shall be plucked off the land whither thou goest to possess it. You know, God promised them the land, but because they refused to listen to him, that's why they lost it. Now, the good news is that, again, we can always turn back. We can always repent. He's waiting for us to repent. All right, let's go back to actually verse or chapter 31. And given that Israel has already been told you can have blessings or you can have absolute curses. You know, it's sort of like if you watch Let's Make a Deal, it was like, do you want door number one or do you want door number two? I'll even show you what's on door number one, and I'll even show you what's in door number two. Now, which one do you want? No, I'd rather have the diseases and the horrible. What? That's insane. Why wouldn't you want blessing? And I think a lot of the reason is the God of this world is talking in their ear, saying, "You don't need that. It won't be so bad." He's lying. And no, in verse, let's see, in verse 19, God tells Moses, "Therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." And then, verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. So, chapter 32 is the song that Moses wrote. And God wanted him to write that so that they would sing this song. God loves singing, by the way. He loves music. And that's why we ought to love music and singing, and it, even if you got no voice like I do, you still, God loves to hear it. And that's why he knows what they're going to do. Given that they're going to turn away, but the children are going to be singing this song, and that's going to be a witness against the people, the adults who are going away from the Lord and forgetting what he has said. Because this song is just full of good stuff. The first four verses in chapter 32, it basically tells of how great God is. Verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Because Israel is going to not have justice and not have anything that can be trusted. Isn't that sort of where we are? I mean, is there any court you would trust? Is there any legislator or whatever that you would really trust anymore? And in verse 5, he says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not on the spot of their children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? It is not he thy father that has brought thee. He hath not made thee. Have he not made thee and established thee? Can you imagine the children singing this and they're being reminded of what of really what Moses has told them. That's the entire thing. From verse 5 to verse, let's see. Down to really 39, it is judgment. It is not good. Look at verse 19. When the Lord saw it, He abhorred them. How does that square with the God loves you crowd? He abhorred them. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Boy, is that not America today? We have forsaken God and we lightly esteem. We use his I don't, but our society uses his name as a curse word. That's how lightly esteemed he is. It's just a rag, it's a little dirty rag that you can just use for anything. None of that, you think, oh, we're getting away with that. No, you're not. No. And we're seeing the flood of judgment starting to come. This is not new. Israel was told this. And we need to learn from what happened to Israel so that it doesn't happen to us. You know, they're talking about nuclear wars and all that kind of stuff. Well, I don't know. Our military has been really gutted, and I wouldn't want to go to war with our military, just because it's fat. And one of the things he says, let's see where. That I really, really like. Now I can't find it. Anyway, it says that Israel has become fat, and they've become they've so in their blessings, they have so become satisfied, and. They believe that they are the ones that gave them all these things, and that's why they turn away from God. And there was a I think a CDC report, whatever, says the average American man is 5'9", weighs 200 pounds. And has a 40.5-inch waist. And the average woman is 5'3", weighs 171 pounds, and has a 38.7 waist. Now, these are just averages. So there's, you know, people a lot fatter, and there are people a lot, not a lot, but there are some people that are under that. But this is, I mean, how many people have to make a resolution that, oh, I'm going on a diet. And it's because we've become fat and complacent, and not just physically fat, but spiritually. We're not taking in the Word of God. We're not hearkening to His Word. And we're starting to see the